Your devotional, focusing on peace, ties in nicely with my message, and thank you also for drawing our minds to Palm Sunday. Jesus triumphantly rode into Jerusalem on a young donkey, showing that he truly is our King. When we contrast, a contrast to peace would be war and turmoil, and I want to think a little bit this morning about what has been going on over in Ukraine. If we let our minds go back to the latter part of 2021, Vladimir Putin was amassing his troops on the border of Ukraine for most of the year, and especially intensifying in the latter part of the year until he had a large amount of military equipment on the border of Ukraine. And he was challenged by some world leaders on whether his intent was to invade Ukraine, and he denied it. No, he has no intentions of invading Ukraine. And yet at the same time, why would you amass your troops there? And as we know, about 6 weeks ago, February 24th, he did invade Ukraine unannounced, didn't declare war, simply invaded Ukraine. And it seems like he is intent on waging war, seizing a neighboring sovereign country. And we watch that, and the whole world is watching, and especially us Christians, watching it with horror and realizing just how devastating and how horrible war really is. And Ukraine, with its 43-year-old president, much younger than 69-year-old Vladimir Putin, Zelensky is suddenly finds his country thrown into chaos and much destruction. And it's just awful in the day and age in which we live in. We see pictures, and the devastation is just incredible. And for us to stop and think, if you're like me, to try and imagine us living through something like that, if that would be our country, if that would be our homes that are being devastated and innocent people being shot in the street and what have you, it's just awful. One of the other awful things that I think we all are aware of is at the beginning of the war, how many people were fleeing the country by the millions, and many of the men are staying to fight. Many of them are being told they must stay and fight, but you've seen different pictures of men kissing their wives and their children goodbye, putting them on buses, sending them to safety, and they're staying to defend the country of Ukraine. We're told millions of refugees have fled into other European countries, and many of them into Poland, and to find refuge there. So we watch it with, as Christians, we watch that with mixed emotions. And if you're like me, we long for justice, and yet what does that really look like? What do we really long for? I believe that what we really long for, if we really think about it, is we long for the leader of Russia, Mr. Putin. We long for him to find a relationship with Jesus and to repent and to apologize to Ukraine and to rebuild the country. It's what we would really long for to happen. And yet we realize that apart from Jesus, it's not going to happen. I've entitled the message this morning, Peace Through Strength. Peace Through Strength. And we want to also, as a subtitle, we want to think about some spiritual lessons that we learn from the horror of war. Spiritual lessons from the horror of war. I just want to, in the onset here, I just want to think about one spiritual lesson that I think we can learn, we need to learn from this as we see what's going on in Ukraine. And that is the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, is well liked by his people. They seem to respect him and like him. He's well liked. And the United States of America, namely President Biden, offered him at the beginning of the war, he offered him a ride out of Ukraine. You can get out of here safely. He knew that he's on the hit list of Putin. He would love to see him killed. And when the United States offered Zelensky a ride out of Ukraine, his response was, and I'm guessing this will go down in history as one of those famous sayings coming from world leaders. There's many of them that go down as just almost like a saying that just is riveted in the history books. And he said, "I don't need a ride. I need bullets." And we look at that as Christians, and it's not where we're at. But the point I want to make and the spiritual application I want to make to us this morning is one spiritual lesson we can learn from the war in Ukraine. And that is we marvel at Zelensky's response and his determination to defend his home country. As the leader of the country, he's like, "No, I don't need a ride. I need bullets. We're going to defend Ukraine." And as Christians, we're non-resistant. We're not defending a physical country. We're part of a spiritual kingdom. But that spoke to me, and I wanted to speak to every one of us this morning. Do we have that kind of a resolve to defend this spiritual kingdom which we're a part of? Are we like Zelensky and saying, we will do anything to defend this kingdom, to stand up for the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom that we are so privileged to be part of, and to not only to defend it, but to build it, and to be unashamed of who we are and this kingdom, and just do anything we can for the kingdom of God. And I need to admit first that, you know, sometimes in my Christian life, sometimes on a Wednesday evening or a Sunday evening, maybe more so than Sunday mornings, but it's like, especially if you're busy, it's like, oh, here we go to church again. And shame on me, shame on us sometimes for feeling like that. We should be so energetic and so apply ourselves to standing up for the kingdom and doing everything we can to promote the kingdom of God. And I take a little lesson there from Zelensky and his passion to protect the homeland. We also have a homeland, and it's called the kingdom of God. And it's an everlasting kingdom. And we have it does us good to stand up for it and do everything we can to promote it and protect it. Peace through strength. I would like to think a little bit about what's going on in Ukraine. And I would like to, you've probably heard this statement already, and maybe as recently as back in President Trump's time. I know he used it. I know President Reagan used the phrase, peace through strength. Ronald Reagan was president from 81 to 89, and he, in his time, he strengthened the military, he cut taxes, and he was in power over the time that Gorbachev tore down the walls in the Soviet Union, and Ukraine and many of the other countries, there was a division there back then, and so we now have Russia, which was at one time all part of the Soviet Union, but we had a lot of these countries becoming their own sovereign nations in that time. But during the time of Reagan, Ronald Reagan was a big guy on peace through strength. He built the military up in the United States, and Reagan made the comment, "I don't ever want to use it. But if there's going to be peace in the world, we need to be strong." And that was his philosophy. And during his time, there was a lot of wars ended, and the Soviet Union crumbled. And then we had some other presidents in between there that didn't really think that way. But then along, and there was wars started again. But then along come President Trump, and he was the same. He was like, peace through strength, built the military up. And I'm 63 years old, and I don't ever remember during the 4 years of Trump's presidency, there was political turmoil, like I don't ever remember. But there was something that a lot of people overlooked, and that was that there was really worldwide peace during those 4 years, like I never seen before in my lifetime. There was some wars that ended at the beginning of his 4 years, but the last few years, it was just the world, even though political turmoil was rampant at home, there was world peace. And it was largely due to Trump's philosophy of peace through strength. Other countries, and when war broke out in Ukraine, there was a lot of people said this would have never happened under Trump because Putin didn't trust him. He knew that the country was, the military was strong, and he had a feeling like Trump wouldn't be afraid to use it, and so he was he waited until Trump was out of office, and I'm not here to hash all that out, but it's simply interesting to note that there is something to the statement peace through strength. And we want to look at this morning what it's like for a Christian. It holds true also in spiritual things. We find peace through strength, and we want to look at that a little later. But first of all, as we're thinking about peace through strength, and I'm talking physical strength, militaries, the world, different countries in the world. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 12 and notice some verses here. In Revelation chapter 12, we discover that there was a war in heaven, and we discover in this portion of Scripture that peace was realized again in heaven, and it came through strength. Revelation 12 and verses 7 through 10. The Scripture says here, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." There's a verse in Proverbs that says, "Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease." And so, many, many years ago, in heaven, war broke out, and it was taken care of through strength. Michael the archangel cast out Satan and the ones who were following Satan, who had rose up in pride, and cast them out of heaven. And so peace was restored in heaven through strength. But let's notice what happened on earth after there was war in heaven and peace was restored in heaven. Let's notice what happened in earth. In verse 9, it says that the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out unto the earth, and his angels are cast out with him. So here we on earth are recipients of Satan, who's cast out of heaven. In Isaiah, I want to read a few verses. You don't need to turn there, but Isaiah chapter 14, verses 16 and 17 says, They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" And so we have Satan cast out. He's the prince, the power of the air, power here on earth. He's cast unto the earth, and we have turmoil. There is spiritual war, if you will, on earth. Satan has taken mankind captive. We refer to it as the sin nature that we're all born with. And Satan has mankind in the clutches of his hand. And mankind is void of peace because of that. There's war. There's spiritual warfare. And Satan has man in the grip of his hand. And so an unregenerate soul is akin to, in many ways, a country at war. You look at Ukraine and you see all the misery, the heartache, the destruction that's in Ukraine. And it's just a picture of an unregenerated heart and the turmoil and the pain and the agony that unregenerated people are experiencing. Just a vivid picture of it. It's horrible. There's another spiritual lesson I want to draw from the war that is raging in Ukraine. And it's difficult for some people to get their minds around the truth that all the sin, the agony, the heartache on earth is due to one fallen angel. One fallen angel. It's difficult to look at all the destruction in Ukraine and say, you can trace it to one man, one person, who waged war. President Putin said, go. He sent them in and told them to start bombing the country and wrecking it and tearing it apart. One person. And in the exact same way, Satan was thrown out of heaven to restore peace in heaven. He comes to the earth, and we can trace all the heartache, all the sin, all the sorrow, every death on earth gets traced right back to Satan. One fallen angel that was cast out of heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 20, verse 22, the beginning of the verse says, "For as in Adam all die." So Adam and Eve fell into sin. They were deceived and sinned there in the Garden of Eden. And so the sin nature passes unto all mankind. So from Satan through Adam and Eve falling in the garden, and all of mankind is experiencing an absence of peace and experiencing the horror of sin due to Satan. So a verse in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." And so that's what we see in the world today. It's what we experienced in our own lives prior to conversion. We experienced that turmoil. We experienced this churning, this never-ending, this lack of peace. But the end of the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, "Even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And that is a wonderful ending to that verse. We discover that peace and life comes from Jesus Christ. Peace through strength. How can we possibly stand up to Satan? We are no match for Satan. The scripture tells us that he holds his subjects as prisoners in his hand, if you will, in his clutches. How can a person escape the clutches of Satan? In the war that's raging over in Ukraine, and I'll be the first to admit that we don't know what is, what all can you believe, but some of it seems like it would be very believable. And some of the stories you're reading are of Russians who were captured. Some of them are calling home to their mothers, to their families, and what have you. And they're describing being trapped. They're saying, I don't want to be here. I don't want to fight. Our units are being slaughtered. We're being killed. There's very few of us left. I want to come back. But I'm told if I do, they'll shoot me in the back. I can't escape. I must fight. I'm trapped. And that is a vivid picture of a person that is under the control of Satan. You can't go forward. You can't. What do you do? You're trapped in the clutches of Satan. But there is peace through strength. And it comes only through Jesus Christ. And one of the most, there's different places we could look at this morning, but I've chosen to, let's go to the book of Acts. I think in the conversion of Saul, it just lays it out so nice for us to understand. In Acts chapter 9, Saul was out waging war against the believers. And in Acts chapter 9, the first verse, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came unto Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And right here we have a very vivid picture of a human surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, what would you have me to do? Total surrender. I can't think of any words to describe it better than simply Saul totally surrendering to the Lord Jesus. And the very next word that Jesus addresses to him is, arise. Arise. Get up. It takes strength, brothers and sisters, to get up. Paul's on the ground surrendering, and Jesus says, arise, get up. Very familiar verse to us is 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Jesus says to the apostle Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So in the spiritual realm, the way up is down. And that's exactly what Saul did. It's what he experienced. And for you and I to find peace and to maintain peace, it's the same recipe, if you will. The way up is down. And when we surrender, a full surrender to the Lord Jesus, he gives us the strength that he alone can give us to withstand the onslaughts of Satan, to first of all escape his grip that he had on our life, and then to withstand him. And you and I, could we experience peace if we would not have the strength necessary to withstand Satan's war that he continues to wage against us? And the answer is no. There's no way that you and I could have peace if we would be fearful that we cannot withstand Satan and the temptations he throws at us and everything that he's just so desperately trying to get us to stumble and to fall spiritually. It would be impossible to have peace. But no, you and I know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Speaking of Satan. And so we have spiritual strength. And because of that, we are experiencing peace. We would have no peace apart from that. And so we have peace through strength, brothers and sisters. But it's not our own strength necessarily. It comes from Jesus. It's where it comes from. He gives it to us when we surrender to Him. But thank the Lord, He does that. And we have what it takes to live a life of victory. We have spiritual strength. Because of it, we experience peace. In and of ourselves, we are defenseless against Satan. If you don't believe it, just look at the world. Look at people that do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, who are not born again. They do not have the strength to withstand against the wiles of the devil. They can't do it. They don't have the strength. They don't have what it takes. But through Jesus, we have the strength. Around us, we see broken relationships. We see marriages in trouble. We see so much untruthfulness, corruptness all around us, abuse, injustice, crime, murders, substance abuse. The list goes on and on and on. There's another spiritual lesson I want us to learn this morning to think about as we look at Ukraine and what's happening over there. And that is, maybe it's twofold. Something I that was just driven home to me again. And that is, first of all, the awfulness of sin. Everything that's happening over there is because of sin. And how awful sin is. And the other lesson I want us to learn is that apart from Jesus, our hearts would not be any different necessarily than President Putin's. Apart from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we were little tyrants also, wanting our own way, like he does. I want this country. I'm going to go take this country. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us and giving us the strength to withstand the wiles of Satan, to withstand his temptations, to have priorities different than the fallen nature. What a blessing it is. And we have Jesus to thank for all of that. In Revelation, if you're still there, Revelation chapter 12, in verse 9, it talks about the great dragon being cast out, which is Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so here we get this picture of Satan and his demons, and they're cast down unto the earth. And one of the things that we look at this, and we can ask the question, do all of Satan's demons totally agree with him? Are they in lockstep with him in everything he's doing and what have you? You can only imagine that there's turmoil there many times. And when you look at what's happening in Ukraine, it's true that there's a lot of turmoil, and not everybody, all the Russian soldiers, many of them don't agree with Putin and don't want to be doing what they're doing necessarily, but yet they're in allegiance with him. They're part of his military, and yet they're not agreeing, and that's how sin is. It's never, you don't find peace in sin. You don't find sweet fellowship and unity. There's oftentimes this friction and what have you there. And one of the other things that you find is deception. There was many of the Russian soldiers that said they had no idea that they were going into Ukraine until the very moment they went in. They were lied to. They were told, you're not going in. We're just practicing here and what have you. And so they were deceived. And they weren't aware of exactly what was going to happen. And so we see that happening in the unspiritual kingdom, in Satan and his demons and what have you. There's just a lot of turmoil there, and people aren't necessarily agreeing, and yet they're following their leader. We're in Revelation. Let's look at two more verses here, 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Oh, what sweet words for us Christians to see that we can live in victory. And it's because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and because we love not our lives unto the death, and we can have and experience victory. Verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." But we have peace this morning, and we have it through the strength of Jesus Christ. In the midst of the storm that we're experiencing here on this earth. There's another saying that you've probably heard already, and I just want to think about just a little bit this morning. I have an acquaintance of mine, a little older than I was, some of my brothers were drafted during the, or one of my brothers was drafted during the Vietnam War, but I have a friend who was drafted and went to Vietnam and was over there in the war. And he told me one time, he described how it was on a Christmas morning, I was laying in a rice paddy in Vietnam and the mortars were landing around me. And I'm thinking about my family back home. I'm wondering if I'm going to survive this, if I'll ever see them again. And it's dark. I'm staring at the skies, a beautiful sky, and these shells are landing around me. And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? He said, I had no desire to be there. I didn't want to be there. I was forced to be there. And he made a comment that you've probably heard before. He said, "War is hell." And that's not really accurate, but there's an element of truth to it. And the truth is that, like I said earlier, there's a lot of the Russian soldiers that had absolutely no desire to be in Ukraine fighting. They were forced into the military. They were forced into Ukraine. And so I'm sure some of them were all into it, most likely, but many of them were not. They had no intent of going into Ukraine, or they didn't want to go into Ukraine, but they were forced to go into Ukraine and to fight. And they experienced a little bit of hell on earth. They're in there and experiencing all these horrible things, all the death and the devastation, and they're killing, so they're not killed themselves, and just experiencing these horrible, horrible things. And there was there's a lot of these Russians soldiers that were interviewed after they were captured, and they said, I didn't want to be here. I had no, I was forced to come, and this is just not something I wanted to do. This is not who I am, and what have you. And yet they found themselves there. And I want to draw another spiritual lesson from that this morning, and that is, here we have a lot of these soldiers who were under the influence of their president, the commander of the military, who sent them into this country to do something they never wanted to do. And they found themselves in this horrible, horrible situation. And I'd like to draw a comparison to that, to people. There's a lot of people, I'm convinced, that are in an awful place this morning called hell, that never had an intent or a desire to go there. Do you believe that? They had no desire to go there. But they were under the grip of Satan. Satan was controlling their lives. And they were believing his lies. Like Putin said, oh, we're just practicing. We're not going in. And, you know, this is nothing to worry about here. And it's the same lies that Satan tells his followers. Nothing to worry about. Eternity, that's a long ways over there. Everything's good. I have everything under control here. You don't have to worry. Well, the truth is that each one of us is one heartbeat away from death, away from eternity. That's how close eternity is for all of mankind. And it's horrible to be under the control of a tyrant who has evil intentions for his followers. And he wants to use them for his advantage and to his benefit. And if it involves invading another country, he's good with doing that. And that's just a horrible situation to be in. There was recently in our community, when the Amish have a cemetery back past our house, half mile back the road. And so when there's a funeral, the buggies all come, and the funeral procession often comes by our house. And there was a neighbor lady half a mile away who was in her 80s, and she had a terminal disease, and the family was waiting for her to pass away. She was very weak, and people were saying, yeah, she doesn't have many days left. She's on her deathbed. And so the community knew that this is no doubt going to happen very soon. But do you know what happened? About 4 days before, 3 days maybe, before she passed away, her 43-year-old son, single, good health, seemingly good health, was on a construction job, was up on a lift, and he left himself down and took a few steps and fell over dead. And so his funeral, the funeral procession came by our house on the day, and after he was buried back at the cemetery, they went back to the house, and within 2 hours, his mom passed away. Then a couple days later, there was another one. And so just a reminder to me that, the old saying is the old must die, but the young can die. And life is so uncertain, and it is so important. The spiritual lesson we need to learn is that it is so important that we are prepared for eternity. If we are under the control of Satan and we've never repented from our fallen nature that we were born with, and we're under the control of Satan, he can lie to us. He can say, you're young. Like the Russian soldiers were told, oh, no, we're not going in. What do you mean, war? We're just out here practicing. Yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. And one morning, early in the morning, they're awoken out of their sleep, and they say, start your tanks, we're going in. And they suddenly, within hours, they're experiencing a horrible, horrible thing. And so this morning, let's be sure that we have peace, and the only way that we can obtain peace is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. His strength, we can stand up to Satan through the strength of Jesus, and we can have peace and be prepared to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53, two verses in closing. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says, for he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Let me read that verse in Bible in basic English, which makes it a little clearer. It says, it was for our sins that he was wounded, and for our evil doings he was crushed. He took the punishment by which he gave us peace. He took the punishment by which he gave us peace. And then, if you go down to verse 12... says, therefore, will, and it's, this is a chapter is prophecy of Jesus and his suffering and his death. And the last verse says, therefore, will I divide him, speaking of Jesus, a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with who? With the strong. Brothers and sisters, we are no match for Satan unless we have the strength of Jesus. Unless we have the Holy Spirit living within us, we are absolutely no match for Satan. But Jesus died so that he could divide the rewards or the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Peace through strength. And I am so happy and thankful this morning that we can have that peace. And it's only because of the strength that the Lord Jesus Christ makes available to us when we totally surrender to him, so that we don't have to experience an eternity apart from him, an eternity in a horrible place called hell. And when you look at the pictures of the destruction in Ukraine and the dead bodies and just the awfulness of what you're seeing there, hell is much worse. Much worse. And it's just a reminder to us of what we have been spared from. So let's continue to use that strength to live in victory. And if you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, if you are not born again, if you have not experienced, if you're not experiencing peace, the Bible is very clear that that peace comes only through strength, and it's going to come through the strength that only Jesus Christ can offer you and is offering to all of mankind. And it's because of Jesus giving himself there on the cross, making that he's sharing that strength or that spoil with all the strong people who surrender to him to experience that strength. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning for your word, and I thank you that through you we can have spiritual strength to withstand the wiles of Satan and all the, and to escape his clutches, first of all, and then to live a life of victory. We just thank you for that. And we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for the people of Russia. All the horrible devastation that's going on over there. All the people that have died, which seems so senseless and so, what's the purpose? But it's just a picture of all of what's going on spiritually in this world, and how many people are going into a Christless eternity, which is without purpose and just so devastating. And Lord, help us to just to appreciate anew your sacrifice that you have made in our behalf, and to appreciate having spiritual life. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I just pray that they would surrender their lives to you and experience the peace and the joy and the contentment that you can give an individual, so that we can live in this world, which is a place of turmoil, which is a place of spiritual warfare, but we have at our resources the strength of God himself to withstand Satan. So we thank you for that, and I just ask that you would bless the remainder of this service and our Sunday school hour as we spend that together. Bless all the teachers as they share. In Jesus' name, amen.